This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast
and
Eddie.
And I think he really hit the nail on the head there.
But he aced that one.
That was a good one.
Thank you, Barnaby.
Thank you. And joining us is Major... Wait.
No,
is
no.
Joe Rowland. Read the right cue card.
Yeah. I don't have a crazy name like you guys do. But.
Well, we can get you one.
All right. I got a couple.
I'm going to call you Gus because you look like Gus Grissom.
All right.
There you go.
Gus it is. All right.
The board guy was waving frantically as he does.
They wave all the time.
Yeah.
Jeez. So you're with the U.S. Army Aviation Division, right?
Yes, sir. So currently serving as the Chief Warrant Officer of the Aviation Branch for the United States Army.
So you serve warrants?
I serve all of the Army, right? But kind of for aviation warrants.
Well, yeah, what exactly is a warrant officer?
Okay, so depending on the branch, so we'll kind of talk aviation branch, but in any branch, they're the technical and tactical experts. So the Army is invested in a group of folks that spend their entire career getting really, really good at whatever that profession is. So be it special operations, aviation, artillery, you name it. They see the goodness in leaving professionals in the profession to get just better and better each and every year through frequency and repetition.
Right. So this is not like, you know, I'm thinking sergeant. No. This is actually very hard to become a warrant officer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So we have a responsibility to the ground forces and the rest of the Army and the rest of the coalition partners we have and the rest of the services because of what we provide. That level of expertise and for it to be tough and competitive to come in and stay in.
Yeah, right, and you're specialized in whatever niche.
That's exactly right. So those are the branches. So, and there's 17 different branches, but for us, the aviation branch, we have 7 different disciplines within the branch, but we spend time, so I'm an instructor pilot, right? So I spend my time learning how to be an effective instructor pilot. We have safety officers, tactical operations officers, maintenance officers who spend their entire careers in that field. They don't venture off to do staff jobs or any other thing like that. They spend their time getting really, really good and really, really lethal at what it is we do.
Yeah. Well, that's not a good term to use for an instructor pilot.
Well, I want to train lethality, right? So yeah. Adaptability and agility. So that's all part of it.
Fly or die. It's all there is to it. It's simple.
I was going to say the Army must have one outrageous training program to ensure that these people are technically, I won't say qualified, I'd like to say technically gifted. They know what to do, when to do it, how to do it.
Absolutely. So at Fort Rucker, the home of Army Aviation, the center of excellence that we have, so we take, you know, young men and women of, we look for two things initially, because nobody has the level of competence you require to be a professional. They talk about 10,000 reps and all that, but we take people that are fit, that have character and commitment, we bring them to Fort Rucker, Alabama, and we spend time getting them the basic foundation of the profession that they're about ready to enter. And then when they go off to their first unit, we call it warfighting skills. That's where they learn to be effective warfighters, right? And all the other tasks that are required to defend the nation and so on and so forth.
It's so much more complicated than it sounds from the outside.
It really is, because you guys are in it to win it. You're not just, you don't want to doof around. You want to get in, get it done, and get out.
Oh, absolutely. There's no second place in combat.
Right.
That's a failure. So, absolutely.
And spending as little coin of the realm as I've heard it called, meaning personnel.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we're short personnel right now. And so this is, I believe, the second. So last year we came in really kind of small footprint. This year we brought Special Operations Aviation in. We have 2 setups. And I think we're kind of getting the word out what it is to be an aviation warrant officer. We're the only program in DOD that does what we do, which is we would take people of character, you know, and commitment and of value, and we will teach you what it is to be a warfighter.
So they're the guys that have the black helicopters.
That's what I was thinking.
There's a few of them, right? So to get to that level, you need to come through the conventional Army is the 90% solution for our special operations.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you're an instructor pilot, but would all your aviation warrant officers be qualified pilots?
Oh, every one of them. An aviation branch. So we have different branches. We have unmanned system aviators, 150Us. We have technical warrant officers that run ATC towers, so an ATC facility, maintenance only, no flying, unmanned systems, and so on and so forth.
Wow. Sounds like the rest you can't tell us.
Yeah. It sounds like you have a lot going on there. As an instructor pilot, what kind of aircraft are you instructing on?
So my primary aircraft is the UH-60 Alpha Lemur, the Mike model. So that's our premier lift or cargo kind of aircraft that we use to transport.
Okay, here's we've been beating this joke to death all week.
Oh,
now.
God. Okay.
Here Do you have the brick with you? The emergency brick?
No, we have others that carry that brick. Yeah.
See, he's actually heard that.
Yeah, I've given the brick up a long time ago. Awesome.
Fear the brick. Say, yeah. They now have a digital. They have a digital brick simulator.
Oh, wait a minute. It's Army, so it's an AN/brick.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yes. Yep.
I used to work in the defense business.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like it's very interesting. How does a person get started with the U.S. Army?
Okay, so. Well, right now, kind of the way we have it set up, and we're going to move to a broader look at civilian applicants, which we call our warrant officer flight training applicants. But, you know, get to a local recruiter. When we come out to events like this, you know, just word of mouth, we have a booth, we have subject matter experts. I've seen before Dave Stock with me today. Dave will talk to the civilian population on what it means, what we're looking for, where to go online to figure out where the application process starts, kind of help them where a recruiter location would be so they could get down to the recruiter, do the face-to-face, and start the program.
Yeah, but this doesn't sound like the kind of program that you could sign on and go right from boot camp into. It sounds like you want some experience, you want some seasoning first.
Not always the case. So what we found is, so we do draw 75% of our population from prior service. So they, you know, NCOs, non-commissioned officers, and so on and so forth. We found, though, and Dave's a prime example, our civilian entry applicants have the longevity. We can teach them the skills. There's no feeder out. We call it a feeder out. There's no feeder out for what we do. Even if you're an airline pilot, you're not an Army helicopter pilot. So there's no place where we can grab you and you're already going to get a leg up like our technical warrant officers do. So we're just looking really for fit people of character and commitment. And we will teach you how to do it, and you can have a lifelong career. No other service does this. So we will literally take folks from high school, graduates from college, business people, airline pilots are looking to come back in and do this.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the way I kind of look at it when I talk to young men and women is, so in the Army, we've invested in the warrant officer. He gets to spend his career getting really good at their job. When the Red Star cluster goes off, I'm pretty confident that I've been given the opportunity to be pretty awesome at what I do. Right? Other services, they off-ramp, they go do staff jobs. Well, when the star cluster goes off, we're all going to be manning an aircraft. So the idea that I get to spend my career getting pretty, really, you know, getting really good at it, being a professional at it, you know, chasing Murphy around trying to beat him before he gets in my cockpit. You know
exactly.
What I'm talking? Yeah, that's what we get. We're afforded an opportunity to do that in the Army. Absolutely.
Okay. Where can we find out more about this opportunity?
So I got Dave, if you want to just kind of chime in.
Yeah, one of the best ways, if you just go to Google and do a Google search for WOFT, W-O-F-T, and it's the number one search result, the U.S. Army Recruiting Command or GoArmy.com. We have a lot of information on the web now, stuff that we didn't have 20 years ago that makes it so easy for everyone to get on their phone or their smart you know, device. So you can go there or any Army recruiting station. You can ask about the WOFT program. And as Mr. Rowland said, I mean, you can come right in off the street and be an Army aviator. You just have to do it. You have to want to do it.
Right.
And have those competencies that we're looking for.
And loving helicopters helps, too.
So we do fly fixed wing also, so that's another thing. So it's not all things rotor wing. And it's funny, we were talking on the way in, most of what you see on the flight line started as an Army program. I mean, we are the very first part of, you know, the defense's Air Force. So Air Force hates when I tell them that. But
so how many different aircraft do you guys operate? I guess the word is all of them.
Well, we do have fixed-wing jets, prop-driven fixed-wing. We have all types of rotor-wing aircraft and then a bunch of special operations-type one-off
and they're,
aircraft.
And they're trying to figure out how to hotwire a V-22 and steal it from the Marines.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that we do have, and what I love about Oshkosh, is the EAA Drone Center here. You know, the Army has more UAS, unmanned systems, than all of the rest of the services combined. And so, you know, we're really thinking next year when we try to come back and make our presence just a little bit more well-known, that drone center has so much capability. And we want to try to highlight all of our UAS systems that we have, because we have some awesome technology that, you know, that we're on the forefront of. So some good stuff, not just in manned aviation.
Right. So for the unmanned, just to highlight that, that's the one, we're the one service that doesn't require you to be an officer to operate that piece of equipment.
Okay, now, your main UAS mission is surveillance and intelligence gathering, or do you have tactical attack capability?
We do. Okay. So, and we call it manned-unmanned teaming. So when we off-ramped the OH-58 Delta, which was our scout aircraft, we manned it up with a Gray Eagle aircraft, And so it's an Apache and an unmanned system working together. In
okay.
Tandem, right. So you got one unmanned out kind of front, and I won't go through all the tactics, but that's right. How we're going
to
skin.
But if he sees something he needs to do something about, he calls them up right. on
and
the phone.
And they're armed also. So they're okay. also able to provide immediate effects on the battlefield okay. without having a person in there.
I remember seeing on television, they were talking about an integrated battlefield. They were talking about everybody was going to be digitally hooked in, know where everybody is, know where the bad guys are, and that the UAS system was part of this because it wasn't just something big flying around. They were talking about small UAVs. I remember seeing a little fixed-wing airplane. They unfold the thing and set it all up, and zoom, they just launch it, and you got a good eye in the sky for, 300 yards around you.
Yeah, so a little bit longer than 300 yards, but our ground soldiers right now are equipped with that.
Nice.
Where to go out to look in a building around a corner, things like that, we have the micro drones and all kinds of other in-between drones that we can use to immediately give feedback. Some of that would be piped into higher level, but other, it's just for the squad level or platoon level.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nonetheless, when you find the bad guys, you want to go and call in for the help.
Well, the thing is, you want yes. to find the bad guys without exposing your guys to the bad guys.
Right. That's always right. a good tactic.
And yes. that's what it's all
that's
about.
That's a good thing. Yep. All right. I want to thank you for joining us, Joe Roland.
I appreciate it.
U.S. Army warrant officer.
There you go.
Doesn't that sound good? Bet that looks great on a business card.
It does.
All right.
I'll leave you one. All right.
Okay. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.